Baba wethu osezulwini, yisabe Nkosi Jesu, siyabonga Nkosi ekuseni. We are grateful our Father for such favor, for such mercy and grace that we may come before your holy throne even this morning. We are grateful our Lord for giving us this opportunity to hear again from your holy word, written for our instruction, for our direction, wisdom, righteousness, and knowledge, written to lead us unto salvation, for it is your power, O God, unto salvation. Will you come now, our Father? Will you visit us, O God? Will you dwell in this place even this morning? Will you use, O God, your servant that you chose to speak through this morning? May your interpretation of your word, O God, the interpretation of your holy word, my Father, may it be suitable, relevant, teaching, and building to your church even this morning. We pray in the mighty name of Christ. Come and minister to us this morning in Jesus' name. May we all say amen.
Amen.
And we may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Friends, Christian brothers, and sisters, I greet you this morning. Last week, we have learned that the gospel needs to be central in soul winning. But above all, we have also learned that our character is even of a greater importance in approaching this mission of soul winning. We have learned the importance and the requirements of righteousness and wisdom in our soul winning as we live among the lost. Brothers and sisters, we have learned that we must be prayerful. We have learned that we must be obedient to the Lord. People who are faithful in preaching the word, people who are faithful in studying the word, people who are faithful in listening to the word as well. Above all, we need to be righteous as Christ is righteous. The one who died for us, he has given us the life of righteousness that we may live among the
people.
So, the question that needs to ring in our minds is the question that says, who can be a better than example for us in living righteously, in wisdom, in communicating his words, in winning the souls? Who can be a better person than the Lord Jesus Christ?
So let us
all then together open the gospel according to Matthew. We're going to be in chapter number 4. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. We shall commence our reading from verse 12 to
verse 25.
I think although our study this morning will be based more on verses 12 to 17, but we shall read from 12 to 25, Matthew chapter 4 from verse 12 to 25.
Testament encha, Matthew chapter 4 verse 12 to 25. Ka tsotswere ya re ha Jesu a utla gore Johane o tswewe a ya Galilea a tloha Nazareth a tla aha Kapernaume e le bopeng la letha tikologong ya Sebuloni le Naphtali e le gore go tle go phethale go boletswe ke moprofeta Isaiah ha a re lefatshe la Sebuloni lefatshe la Naphtali ngalwatle muse ho Jordan haleluya ya ba ditshaba se tshaba se neng se dutse le fitseng se bonye le sedi le leholo mme ba neng ba dutse le fatseng la lifu le le fitseng ba tshabetse ke le sedi ho tshwana nakong eo Jesu a kala ho ruta a re ba ka ba ne Musa modimo o atametse ya ba ha Jesu a sika le letsa la haleluya ho bona bara ba babedi ba motho Simeone a bitswang Petrose le Andreas ngwanabo ba ntse ba agela le tlowane letseng gobane e ne e le batshwasi ba ditlhapi a re o bona o tshale morago mme ke tla leetsa batshwasi ba batho hanghang ba tlogela matloa a bona ba mo latela goba a fetele pele go bona bara ba bangwe ba babedi ba motho Jakobo morago wa Sebidia le Johanne ngwanabo ba nna le ntata bona Sebidia ka sekepeng ba ntse ba lokisa matloa a bona mme a ba bitsa hanghang ba tlowela sekepe le ntata bona ba latela Jesu Jesu a tsamaya le galele ya yotlhe a ntse a ruta matlong a thapelo a teng phatlhalatsa moletsa o molemo wa mmuso a fodisa mafu le malwetse wotlhe setšhabeng setumo sa gae sa utlwagala se ri ya yotlhe mme ga tliswa go yena botlhe ba jewang ke mafu a mefutafuta ba imetsweng ke mahloko ba na le madimona ba swang sethwathwa le dirisa mme a ba fodisa a ba a latelwa ke matshwelegadi a tswang galelea dikapolosi Jerusalema Judea le Mose wo Jordan.
May the good Lord bless his precious and wonderful way. Our aim, brothers, this morning is not to argue against the so many unbiblical views of soul winning. But our aim is to look at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, to look on how Christ carried out his mission on soul winning. So that you may learn from him what is necessary for us to know in soul winning. Our aim is to see Jesus as the only, the true, the first soul winner. And in that we need to know that Christ is actually, though he is the only one, the true, the first soul winner, is using us as his instrument in winning souls. He's using us as his workmanship in carrying out his word to the lost. Earlier in chapter number 3, John the Baptist has already told us that Jesus is the one who shall gather his people to himself. Jesus is telling us that John is telling us that Jesus will gather his people like a farmer gathering his wheat into his barn. And looking at our text this morning, then we shall see clear that Jesus is the one who actually wins souls. Jesus is the one who came to save his people, the one who came to call his people from their sins. We can see that in the way that Jesus carried out his ministry in the world. We shall see that in the way, or in the way, or in what Jesus actually spoke when he was engaged in mission. Because the way that Jesus carried out his mission and the way that he spoke when he carried out his mission is what separates Jesus from John the Baptist, who actually was the first to preach repentance.
But the one papa against Anto Jesu left to Johan, the Camo and Abuakati, and Camo and Esrekati, Ovadi Kiena, and Akil Otozan Kiena, Akilempe, Hara Chukulu.
When you read from verse 21 down to 25, you see that Matthew is telling us that Jesus began to proclaim the gospel.
How about verse 25?
Matthew says Jesus is the one who proclaimed the gospel. Then the word gospel is first now mentioned in relation to Jesus Christ teaching and preaching. Matthew did not say that about the preaching which John the Baptist preached. Matthew never mentioned that John the Baptist preached the gospel. He only said John the Baptist preached repentance. But when it comes to Jesus, Matthew is saying Jesus preached the gospel.
Matthew hare Johanne onarega evangeli. Empa uta Johanne onarega tsokolowa. Empa ha ona otojes ona Jesu kena anarega evangeli.
We see that John the Baptist only called people unto repentance. He was pointing them to Jesus Christ, who actually saves. Unlike the message of John the Baptist, the message of Jesus Christ was rich. The message of Jesus Christ was spiritual food to those who have believed. His message was rich, actually. His message was feeding the soul. Jesus, the Bible tells us, he preached, then he began to teach. In other words, Jesus began to explain carefully to those who have believed. The Bible tells us he went to the synagogue explaining in details the matters of the gospel and the news of the kingdom of God. So what he did, he preached. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But then the people who believed that message, they got teachings from Jesus. He went also to the synagogues and explained the gospel. He was actually giving them further instruction on the kingdom of God. Those people who have believed his message. So when we look at John the Baptist and we look at Jesus also, then we see our reason that it is good that we follow the pattern of Jesus Christ and the commandment of Jesus Christ on soul winning rather than the way that John did. We should be confident on looking at how Jesus carried out his mission, because Jesus preached and then explained what he was preaching. So in dealing with the subject this morning, brothers, that Jesus is the first, is the only, is the one true soul winner, I think first we shall look on the fact that Jesus came to save his people. Secondly, we shall look on the uniqueness of Christ as a soul winner and look on that and see how is it now passed on to us, how is it now made common to us as his children, as his people. The story of Jesus in this book of Matthew, in this gospel, it begins in the first chapter of Matthew. When we open the first chapter of Matthew, when we look on the first verses, We see Jesus being introduced through his genealogy, through his fathers and forefathers and the people of the past in his lineage. But what Matthew does, he first says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the son of David, son of Abraham. The reason why he brings David first, it is because of the Jews who understood that God had made a promise that in the lineage of David, he shall bring out an offspring that will build the kingdom of, that will sit on the throne of David. So what he was doing, he was bringing them to realize that the person that they've been waiting for, the Redeemer that they've been waiting for 1,000 years after David, is the Christ who is born in Bethlehem. But immediately then, he leaves the story of explaining or to saying anything about David. He goes back and says, Jesus Christ is the son now of Abraham, who lived 1,000 years before David. And then when you think you will explain anything, then he actually leaves the whole story, he writes the whole genealogy. After writing the genealogy, he separates Jesus from men. He separates Jesus from men by bringing unto us the unique birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ's birth was unique. He brings the fact that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin, a woman that had not known a man. Then immediately, Matthew jumps and shows us the unique function or mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is this function or unique function or mission that Jesus Christ alone came to do. He says, Matthew says that the Lord spoke to Joseph and said to Joseph, Mary will bear a son and Joseph will name him his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The reason his name is Jesus is because he is identified as the one who shall save his people from their sins. So if you have sins, like me, the only one that can save you from your sins is that man called Jesus. Immediately, Matthew is showing us the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he comes to do. His mission is made clear before us. Matthew is actually saying that Jesus, when he came, he was already Lord and Savior. So it is not our responsibility as men to make him Lord and Savior, because he was already, he'll always be Lord and Savior. Because the Bible teaches us that he's the one who came to seek that which was lost. The Bible tells us that he came to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And the Bible tells us the reason why he came to give knowledge of salvation to his people, it says, because of the tender mercies of our God. It is because of the tender mercies of God that the Christ, the Son of God, came to give light unto those who are in darkness. This becomes very important to us, to understand the purpose of Christ, to understand the will of Christ, as we also are called to win souls to him. We need to know what is his purpose, what did he come to do. He came to save his people from their sins, the Jews and the Gentiles together. And we see that also in this chapter of Matthew, chapter number 1, in the mentioning of Abraham, we know that the Jews are not alone anymore. When the Bible mentions Abraham, it mentions also the promise to the Gentiles. Because Jesus, we are told in the book of Galatians, that he is that blessing of Abraham. And we receive him, or the spirit of him, through faith. Then we are the children of God. The point that I'm trying to tell you, the point that I'm trying to drive you to, is that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. So when we preach the gospel, when we go and evangelize people, when we share this good news to everybody, when you listen to the gospel being preached to you, when you study or read your Bible, the only people that will be saved are his people. When we go out there, the only people that we will win their souls are his people. Because that's what he came to do. To save his people. So our purpose in soul winning, our purpose in preaching the gospel, is that his people may be saved through the preaching of his word. For his gospel is the power unto salvation.
And
his people are everywhere. If you look at chapter number 4, where we just read this
morning,
Jesus moved from city to city because his people are everywhere. Then you also begin to understand why this local church is in the midst of this chaos. It's because people of God are everywhere. The reason why we go to such hostile, depraved hearts, dead people in their sins, the reason why we call out and say, come to Jesus, in the midst of this chaos, is because God has his people everywhere. So, when he comes in, the only purpose that he has in his mind, the only purpose he has in his heart, is to save his people. He comes in to set a standard of righteousness for his people. He comes in to call his people to himself, that they may be like him, that they be a reflection of Christ Jesus while they live here on earth. But above all, he comes in to call his people that they may also be soul winners. He comes in to call his people that they may also bring someone to Christ. We see him going through preparation. Why was Jesus being prepared, brothers and sisters? So that he may identify with us. He was baptized. Then he went through temptation. He was tempted by the devil. And he was victorious. And immediately after that, brothers and sisters, he began his ministry of soul winning. What is important for us to learn from this? That we need to be prepared. If Christ Jesus was also prepared, we must be prepared in soul winning. We must also be prepared. And our preparation, my friends, begins in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our preparation, brothers and sisters, begin when we are looking now, we are able to look up to Jesus as our Savior. When we can trust on Him and depend on Him, calling upon His name. So looking at this text before us this morning, we see the promise of God beginning to unfold before our own eyes. The promise of God to His people. We see the promise unfolding that God said He Himself, God, will teach His people. He's the one that will be teaching His people. We are told that Christ Jesus went from city to city preaching and teaching. The promise of God is unfolding. That also the dead shall hear His voice. And we know that it mainly speaks about the coming of Christ, that those who are dead, they are on their graves, they will hear the voice of Christ and they will rise from their dead. But also those who are dead in their sins, those who are depraved, those who are in bondage of sin, they will hear the voice of the Lord in their hearts, calling them out to come to Him. In other words, in the preaching of His word, His people will respond in faith. In the preaching of His word, His people will come crawling to Him. So when we read here chapter number 4 from verse 12, we are told that at the arrest of John the Baptist, Jesus withdrew unto Galilee. Brothers, Jesus had already begun His ministry among the Jews. Jesus has already been preaching among the people. Do we remember John the Baptist when he was baptizing and his disciples, they came and says, the man that came to you for baptism is also baptizing and is baptizing more people. So while the ministry of John the Baptist was carrying on, the ministry of Jesus Christ was also carrying on. You need to listen carefully. Because here it says, when John was arrested, Jesus withdrew into Galilee. It doesn't necessarily mean this was the beginning of Christ's ministry. He had already brought many people unto Him, especially the Jews. But why is this important for us to see? Because you are not a Jew. You need to see how are you coming in into this issue. Jesus is trying to show you how did you come to be here. So He withdrew unto Galilee. And my point is, Jesus was not running away to Galilee because John the Baptist was in prison.
Jesu ona sabalele sigalila ka ba lesojane ona le tronko.
And I'm going to prove that to you. So as much as we hear of Christian persecutions around us, we are encouraged to carry on in our Christianity. We are encouraged to go out and win souls. Jesus withdrew unto Galilee. Not because of threats. Not also because there was greener pastures on the other side. But the Bible tells us that his reasoning to withdraw unto Galilee was more theological than that. The Bible tells us that it was to fulfill what was written about him in the Word of God. All that the Bible is telling us that Jesus was actually continuing his mission to another place. He withdrew into Galilee because of the promises that God had given to people about Jesus. And remember, my friends, it is not sin to relocate when there is a threat. When you hear of a threat, you can relocate. You remember the Apostle Paul in
Damascus.
He had to run away because there were threats. Joseph, who is called the father of Jesus, he ran to Egypt because there were threats that the child Jesus was going to be killed by Herod. And when he came back from Egypt 3 years later, he planned to go to the land of Judea, but he heard that Achillas, the son of Herod, was in charge. Then the Bible tells us that he withdrew and went to live in Galilee, in the district of Galilee, Nazareth. It is not sin to withdraw and relocate because of threats. But we need to know, brothers and sisters, that God will not always going to allow us to relocate. Here's my point. Paul himself wanted to withdraw from the church of Corinth, or the city actually of Corinth. But God said to him, "You're going nowhere. I have many people of my own in this city." Brothers, we need to hear. God was not saying there were many people in that city. But God said, "I have many of my own in the city." So Paul remained because there are people who will have to hear the word of God preached by you, and they shall come to Jesus when they hear these words. So the reason we preach the gospel is because God's people will hear it and come to life. But the question is this, brothers. Why did Jesus withdraw? It is because Jesus had to go and preach to the Galilee of the Gentiles. The Bible tells us that he went to the Galilee of the Gentiles. The Bible tells us that Jesus went to a people sitting in darkness and in death. If you read from verse 12 to 17, Jesus went to a people in darkness and under the shadow of death. In other words, they were in darkness, they were blind, and they were under the authority and the power of the devil. So what he did, he went to preach to such a people. He went to call such a people. The people who were spiritually dead, the people who are just like our people today. People who are in bondage. Do you know that if you don't have the life of Christ in you, you are in bondage, and Christ came to preach to such a people.
Let
us. His mission was not racial. His mission was not tribal. He went to preach to his people. And it is revealed to us today that in the mission of preaching, in the mission of soul winning, all that is necessary is the preaching of the word. For people to come back to life, for people to have a relationship with God, all that is necessary is the word. Because the Bible tells us that people are in darkness and under the shadow of death. People don't need motivational speaking. People don't need sweet talks. All that we need to know is that there is a Christ who died for our sins. All that we need to know that there is a man who purchased us from the wrath of God, the wrath to come. We must flee from the wrath. My friends, look around. Tell me it is okay. Tell me it is well. Tell me, brothers, that these people, the whole world, not just here in Olivet, tell me all that they need is food parcels, not the gospel. Tell me that all that they need is motivational speaking and role models, but not the gospel. How many rituals, my friends, have been performed here in Olivet alone daily? How many goats and chickens have been sacrificed for nothing in this place? How many people are wearing animal skins on their hands and waist, claiming some kind of religion? How many people are jumping around and dancing on the street, claiming some kind of spirituality? It's just past 11 o'clock. How many people are drunk already? And it's Sunday, the day of the Lord. Tell me it is okay. Tell me all that they need is food, but not the gospel. Christ went to places like this, people sitting in darkness, and all that he did to win souls, he preached the gospel. All that we need to come to God is to hear the gospel of God. He went to such a people. We are called to go to such a people. The Bible tells that he went to them because Christ was bringing a great light unto them. Brothers, the gospel carries the great light unto men, to the people in darkness. All that we need to come to light is the light of Christ, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the preaching that through his death and resurrection, we are made one with God and united and are in peace with God. The message that Christ went to preach, my friends, the message that Christ proclaimed was good tidings in the people sitting in darkness. Because it was a message carrying the news of the forgiveness of sin. It was the message that was loaded with power, that people can be transformed from death unto life in Christ Jesus. It was good tidings. Verse number 16 in chapter number 4. It says that on them, the people in darkness, those without Christ, those without hope, those without future, on them the light has dawned. In other words, the kingdom of God has just broke in. It broke in unto their lives. It came. So the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, when Christ comes, the kingdom of God breaks in into your life. And then the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of wickedness is removed in our lives. Peace is established. Justice is sustained. Unity is brought unto us. Peace. Not just with one another. But peace with God. That's what the kingdom of Christ does when it comes to the people in darkness. That's what Jesus aims to do. To call someone from the garbage of sin unto his marvelous life. That's what we are called to do. To preach a message that calls people unto Christ, unto his marvelous life. So Jesus arrives. The only thing that he arrived to do was to call men to renounce actually their idols and renounce their false worship and their false gospels. He came so that people may begin to call only unto him as king. Because Jesus understands that people has got many kings. But he came so that we only recognize him as Lord. That we may only look up to him as a savior. That we may realize that there's nothing else that can save us but Christ Jesus and him alone. For he is the only one that died and hanged at the cross for our sins. So he went and he preached and he taught, explaining into details his gospel. He called people to sit under his ministry and drink from the well of life, from the fountain of life. It's like I can hear them sitting and listening to Jesus speaking, saying, "Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I entered in." Can you sing the same? Can you say the same words? When Jesus says, "Come to the fountain that gives life, come and be cleansed from your sin." Because that's what he came to do. When he went to the people in darkness, he proclaimed the gospel. He didn't proclaim the gospel to John the Baptist. He didn't proclaim the gospel to the devil. But to the people, Jews and Gentiles. Why? Because the grace of God is only extended unto men. Only men can repent from sin. No demon can repent. That's why salvation is extended unto men. So the only necessary thing to give is the gospel. It is the gospel that saves. So let us look now at the uniqueness of Christ as a savior and how is that passed on unto us. We need to know, Bazalwane, with Jesus Christ will always remain the only soul winner. We are not called and made to be co-saviors with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in any way being promoted to work a 50-50 relationship, to work a 50-50 responsibility to save souls with Christ. That's why the souls themselves, people that you preach to, people that listen to the gospel, they are in no way called to work a 50-50 partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ to save themselves. What am I saying? When you need to be saved, when you realize that you are in sin, you need God. God is not expecting you to give a 50% responsibility to save yourself. In other words, you're not supposed to look at yourself and say, what can I give unto you, O God, that I may be saved? God only sent Christ to be the Savior. That tells us, Bazanoguti, salvation remains and will always be of God. So when we go and preach the gospel and win souls, we need to know that only Christ saves. Salvation belongs unto Him. He's sovereign in salvation. Just as He's sovereign over day and night. Do you know that in no way do we cause this earth to be winter and to be summer? We don't do anything for this world to have a light and have a moon. So as that remains of God, God as His sovereign over all those things, God determines life and death. God is the one also who's sovereign in salvation. He sent Christ to save. And today He calls us and He passed on that responsibility to us to bring someone to Christ. When we bring someone to Christ, we are being obedient to God and faithful to His calling. So the Bible says, the Son has authority in this life to forgive sin. It is Christ who forgives sin. So you don't have to look up to me. You don't have to trust unto me. You have to look up to Christ as I preach Christ and Him crucified. You have to look up to Christ, Him crucified for the salvation of your souls. That is what also we go out and preach to the people. Don't depend on us. Look up to Christ. So we know that Jesus Christ doesn't also depend on us, but He sends us as His workmanship. And we always remain dependent unto Him. Christ Jesus is the unique soul winner, because He's the only one who died for the sins of the people. So what we are called to do is to win souls which Christ has already died for. So in the ministry of Jesus Christ, when it was growing, Jesus Christ began to call people unto Himself. Here is what is very important. These people that He called, some of them were already disciples of John. But what is important here is that they came to Jesus so that Jesus Himself teach them His own ways. It was Christ who taught them His own ways to carry out this mission of soul winning. So, Stobo Sam, the fact that you come to Christ when you are old enough to reason for yourself doesn't mean that you come and say, Christ, here am I, use me. You still need to sit under the preaching, you still need to be instructed. This call of soul winning is passed on to us. Because Christ says, He says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That's all. So, we look up to Jesus. We follow Jesus. We learn from him how to win souls. We ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because we understand that the souls that we must win, the people that are out of Christ, the people in sin and darkness, they are bound by the devil, and only God can save them from their sin. So we need to pray. But now you ask yourself, how can I win somebody? If myself, maybe I still need a winning. I need someone to win me. I need Christ to save me. How am I going to call on someone else? How can I pass on life unto somebody while I need life myself? I need Jesus. I'm not his flock. I have not been washing the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says, verse 17, chapter 4.
Oh, chapter 4, verse 17.
Jesus began to preach. And says, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, turn away from your sins. Turn to God. Look up to Jesus for your salvation. Call unto him that you may be clean. Believe in him. Trust in him. Depend only on him. That is what we are called to do. To learn from Christ. And understand his purpose. That Christ came to save. If I need a saving, I need Christ. As the people need a saving, they need Christ. And we are made soul winners. We are called to live righteous in wisdom, communicating the word of God. And we are called to learn from him. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And whosoever comes to me, I will not lose any of them. But I shall raise them on the last day. They shall have eternal life. Come to Christ and live. He says, behold, I shall be with you till the end of the age. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no part in your life, during your life, where you have to seek him through some kind of experiences. He never leaves. He's always with us. Only if we believe.
How can you mean that?
And let us close our eyes and our ears. Heavenly Father and our wonderful God, we thank you this morning for your word. As we aim to learn from Christ, knowing today that he came to save his people, and that gives us courage that we may go and preach, because we know there are many of his people in every place, O God. Help us now to be courageous to preach your word. Help us, Lord, that we may be righteous, that we may be wise in communicating his word. Help us to remember day by day that we are called to be fishers of men, to look up to him and do as he did. Our heavenly Lord, if there's anyone, O God, that has heard your word, that he has sunk on his heart and realized that he needs Christ, I pray your blessing in his life today, that he may come to you, that you may give him life, O God, that he may stand before you on the last day, and you shall say, my faithful servant, come to the kingdom your Father has prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. We praise you, our Savior. Thank you for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, may we all say amen.
Amen.
Can we stand and sing together hymn number 84? Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.